It is Wednesday, June 26th, and you are listening to Pink is a New Podcast by me, Trent Venegas, where I recap and comment on all the fun, gossipy, and entertainment news that took place over the last week. So, all right, there's some fun stuff to talk about, so let's talk about it. Last Wednesday, Marvel announced that they're going to re-release Avengers Endgame in theaters, because they really want to get the new record for the highest box office gross by a film. They are quickly closing in on Avatar, which holds the record. And their plan is to re-release Avengers Endgame in theaters. They're adding some new footage. Now, as far as I am aware, the new footage will not be in the actual movie itself. They're going to add post-credit scene or scenes to try and get people to come back in the theater to see the movie. Now, I'm all for this. I think it's a great idea. I will definitely see Avengers Endgame in the theater again, and more footage will definitely be incentive enough for me to come out and see the movie again. The only thing that bothers me is if they were going to add new footage, I wish they were going to do it in the movie, because they made such a big deal about saying that Endgame is really the end of this phase of the Marvel movies. So that's why they decided not to put a post-credit scene in the movie. And now with this reissue, we'll have a post-credit scene, which kind of changes all of that. But whatever it takes for Avengers to beat Avatar, I'm all for it. Some people are complaining that, you know, oh, like, Marvel's cheating by reissuing the movie or by re-releasing the movie. But let's not forget that Avatar was it was brought back in the theaters three times after its initial run, and that's part of why it made so much money and held the record for so long. So I think it's totally fine for Marvel to bring Avengers Endgame back to theaters. And what little footage it takes to get people to come again so that Avengers becomes the new highest box office grossing movie ever. So I don't believe a release date has been announced yet. Spider-Man So Far From Home is coming out, which is a Sony movie, but it's a Marvel movie. And my guess is that they don't want to eat into the box office of that movie. So Avengers Endgame will probably come probably the end of July, maybe August, to give Spider-Man enough time to make some money at the box office itself. So if you are excited to see Avengers again, or if you missed out for some ungodly reason the first time, Endgame is coming back to theaters for your viewing pleasure. It was also announced last Wednesday that Lindsay Lohan is having problems again, and not like super bad problems before, like the drinking or the drugs or the arrest or anything like that. She lost her MTV show. As you may know, Lindsay opened a club in Mykonos, I believe, and the club was like the focus of a reality show that she had on MTV. I didn't watch it. I don't think anybody watched it, but she had a show. And as it's being reported that for MTV to greenlight the show for a second season, they wanted Lindsay to bring her mother, Dina, and her sister, Allie, onto the show to try and cause drama, because they're just dramatic train wrecks all in of themselves. So MTV wanted more drama on the show. Lindsay decided she didn't want to do that, and MTV was like, okay, no show. So her show got canceled, and her club, I think, is closed down people were reporting that they had reservations or something to go to the club, and now the club is closed, or all those reservations were canceled. So it looks like Lindsay's time as a club owner mogul has come to an end, as has her MTV reality TV star. Yeah, that's done too. So, you know, bad news for Lindsay, but good news that she hasn't been arrested and no new mugshot. So that's good. So yeah, no more Lindsay Lohan Club. Oh, and another cool thing that happened last Wednesday, was that, Niantic released the mobile game Harry Potter Wizards Unite, for, iOS and Android here in the US. And it is, the Harry Potter version of Pokemon Go. So as you may know, Niantic and Nintendo released Pokemon Go back in 2016. Was it 2016? The summer of 2016. And it really took the world by storm. Everyone was like playing Pokemon, and you could hunt and collect and battle Pokemon in real life through your phone with AR and, you know, all of that stuff. I still play Pokemon Go. I love Pokemon Go. It's not as popular as it was that summer. That summer, everybody was playing Pokemon Go. You just saw people standing in crowds on corners all over the place playing all night. I mean, I played a, you know, 24-hour day once with my friends. So Pokemon Go was a huge, huge, huge phenomenon when it was released. So to try and capitalize on that, the company that made Pokemon Go was contracted to make a game for Harry Potter, where, as my understanding was, you were like a wizard and your phone was kind of like your magic wand, and you were able to go into the world, the real world, and catch demons or goblins or whatever and use spells and all that kind of thing. So people were really looking forward to this, especially like big Harry Potter fans. And the game was released last Wednesday, and I downloaded it and I started playing it, and I'm already bored. There's no real incentive for me to play the game. I mean, I don't even think it's that I'm not a huge Harry Potter fan. I mean, I am a huge Harry Potter fan, but I'm not like the biggest Harry Potter fan. But I think the difference is, like, Pokemon Go has like the goal is to catch them all. And initially, you get 150, we had 151 Pokemon to catch. So that took up a lot of time. Like, the Pokemon were not easy to find. They're all over the world. You had to, like, trade, like, years later. And all of, like, the game evolved, and it kept it interesting. As far as I'm aware, in Harry Potter, there's not a lot of collecting. I mean, you do collect things, but, like, who cares if you collect, you know, I whatever. I mean, I just don't know that if the game is just not for me, or if it just isn't good. But yeah, like, I've been trying to play it since it was released, and so far, not really my thing. But I'm willing to stick with it, play with it for a little while, see if it gets better. If you're playing it, let me know, what am I doing wrong? Why is this not doing it for me? What do you love about it? Are you playing? Are you not? Please tell me about it. I want to know. All right. Last Thursday, Entertainment Weekly released the cover of their latest issue. And on the cover, and in the cover story, they celebrated the 20th anniversary of Angel, the TV series Angel. So David Boreanaz, Charisma Carpenter, Alexis Denisoff, and Amy Acker are featured on the cover of Entertainment Weekly in honor of the 20th anniversary of Angel. And as a big Buffy fan, as a big Whedonverse fan, I was very excited to see that Angel was being remembered this way, because everyone remembers Buffy and everybody loves Buffy, and rightfully so, because Buffy and the Buffyverse is amazing. But the Angel series was really, really amazing as well. And it was really great to see these actors on the cover again. So, yeah, Angel is 20 years old, which is kind of depressing and crazy. But yeah, time marches on. Let's see. Last Thursday, Mark Hamill confirmed that he will appear in the upcoming new Star Wars movie, The Rise of Skywalker. But now, I guess this is a spoiler, so let me give a spoiler alert here. Either skip ahead or plug your ears or don't care. But Mark Hamill does give a spoiler alert in this interview that I'm about to talk about, and I'm going to read his quote. So again, this is your last warning for a spoiler alert. If you don't want to know, skip ahead, plug your ears, whatever. But when asked if his character, Luke Skywalker, was going to be in the next film, and as you may know, he died in the last film, he confirmed that yes, he is going to be in The Rise of Skywalker, and they asked him what his feelings are about his coming back, and he says, quote, "Well, because I had closure in the last one, the fact that I'm involved in any capacity is only because of that particular aspect of the Star Wars mythology, where if you're a Jedi, you get to come back and make a curtain call as a Force ghost." So, yes, Luke Skywalker is dead, but also, yes, Luke Skywalker is going to come back in the next Star Wars movie as a Force ghost. Now, we know that Yoda has come back as a Force ghost, and Anakin Skywalker as Darth Vader came back as a Force ghost, and Obi-Wan Kenobi. So now we have Luke Skywalker coming back as a Force ghost as well. It doesn't sound like Mark is really interested in playing Force ghost Luke for, you know, the foreseeable future, but he will be in the next movie. So we have that to look forward to, and whether he, you know, plays a Force ghost moving forward remains to be seen, but it doesn't sound like he wants to do it. But again, we get to have one more Luke Skywalker curtain call in the forthcoming Star Wars movie out in December. On a personal note, on Thursday, I went to go see Toy Story 4, and I loved it. I loved it so much. I was watching the movie with like the biggest grin on my face, just enjoying every single moment, enjoying the character development of these characters who are like 25 years old, these animated characters, these toys. I just was marveling at how these Toy Story films just get better and better and better every movie. I was so excited and so amped on the movie when it was over that I posted a short review on Instagram, and I was like, it's my favorite Toy Story movie. And I think that that's true. Like, all the Toy Story movies are really, really good. Like, the first one is so good. The second one is great. The third one is just, ugh. Toy Story 3 is just a perfect, perfect movie. And it would have been a perfect, perfect way to end the Toy Story franchise. But thankfully, it did not. It was not ended. And the Toy Story franchise continues. And I'm very happy to say, at least for me, that they ended up coming out with an even better story this time around. There's growth, there's character development, there's fun new characters, there's really great writing, and there are Easter eggs. Every Pixar movie has Easter eggs. And I will tell you that the director of Toy Story 4 has confirmed that in the antique store that we see in the movie, so if you haven't seen it, there's an antique store, and if you have seen it, you know what I'm talking about. In the antique store, there are Easter eggs that represent every single Pixar film that's ever been made. So chances are you probably missed all of them. I mean, you might have seen a couple or one or two or something. But if you go back to see the movie, or more likely, if you buy the movie and own it, you have those Easter eggs to look forward to in the antique store in Toy Story 4. A representation of every single Pixar film is hidden in that scene, so, or in that store at least, so, because there's a few scenes with the antique store. So That's really, really fun. one of my favorite things is, I mean, you know, the Forky character, so great. But I really, really loved the character Duke Kaboom, who was voiced by Keanu Reeves. I mean, Keanu Reeves is having a moment right now. He is in everything. Everyone loves him. And he's totally golden right now. So Toy Story 4, great, great movie. Probably my favorite Toy Story movie so far. I can't wait to see it again. You should go see it. You should love it as much as I do. All right. On Friday, we learned the very sad and upsetting news that DC Comics has decided to shut down Vertigo Comics. So those of you comic fans who know, Vertigo Comics is a offset of DC Comics, which was a home for less mainstream comic books, darker comic books, more mature themed comic books, intelligent, highbrow, artistic comic books. It is the imprint that was where Neil Gaiman's The Sandman comics lived. DC owned Vertigo, so technically they're DC Comics, but Vertigo really was this fertile place for avant-garde and just, you know, artistic, you know, more forward-thinking comic book creators to showcase their work, to write, to draw, to pencil. So after all these years, DC decided to shut it down, and that's super, super sad. If you are a Vertigo Comics fan, I'm sure that you're well aware of this by now, and you're probably super crushed by this news. You know, the Sandman comics have just been rebooted, or at least restarted, and it's very sad to know that the time for those comics is coming to an end. The last issues from Vertigo Comics will come out in January 2020, and then that is it. Vertigo will be peace. The Sporked out. Sucks. The Craft movie reboot is getting underway. The first actress has been cast. Actress Kaylee Spaney has been cast in the Craft reboot. She will be playing a character named Hannah, who is likened to the character Sarah that Robin Tooney played in the original film. So, as you may know, The Craft is one of my favorite movies of all time. I always say that my three favorite movies are Clueless, The Craft, and Empire Records, with honorable mention going to Hackers. Now, all of these movies are mid-90s movies. They're very special to me for a host of reasons. And The Craft is probably one of the dearest movies I've ever seen. I mean, I just love it so, so much. So I kind of have some feelings about this Craft reboot. As far as I'm aware, it has the blessing of the actresses, which is great. Andrew Fleming, the director of the original movie, is a producer on this reboot. So that also makes it more attractive to me. So I am very curious to see how this movie turns out. And now we know that the first actress has been cast. So with her casting, they must be either close to or have already cast the other three actresses who will play the other witches in the movie. So they're probably going to space out the news of those casting decisions to try and like stretch out the story. So the Craft reboot is in full swing. We'll see how it turns out. Whether it's good or bad doesn't matter. The original film is fucking fantastic. And I think you should go watch it because it's one of my favorite movies. On Friday, Prince's album Originals was released. So in the wake of Prince's death, his estate has decided to release music from his vaults, from his very famous vaults that house hundreds of hours of unreleased music that he always talked about when he was alive. And now that he is gone, that music is being curated and is being released slowly, bit by bit. So the latest release is an album called Originals, which is comprised of a whole bunch of songs that Prince wrote for other artists. So these are songs that were hits for other artists, like Manic Monday for The Bangles, Nothing Compares to You by Sinead O'Connor, Sex Shooter by Vanity Six. So all of these songs that Prince wrote for other artists, he originally recorded and demoed himself, and these songs have been previously unreleased and unheard, hidden, or at least housed in his vault, and now they've been released in a new record. So the album was released a week earlier, or maybe 2 weeks earlier, for Tidal subscribers, but last Friday it was released for everybody else, and it is really, really fantastic. Prince, I mean, there's no secret that, you know, I'm one of the biggest Prince fans. Love him so much. Love his songs, love his songwriting, love his singing, love his instrumentation, his playing. So getting to hear a quote-unquote new collection of Prince songs that we've never heard before, but we're very familiar with because these songs are all famous songs that were hits for other artists. So hearing Prince sing Manic Monday, hearing Prince sing Sex Shooter, like, it's so cool. So the album was released. It's on Spotify. It's on Apple Music. You can buy it on vinyl and all of that. So, yeah, new old Prince music is out, and you should check it out. On Saturday, Christina Aguilera's Genie in a Bottle turned 20 years old. So this is the bit of news that made me feel ancient, and if I'm feeling old and depressed about being old, then you are too. So, Genie in a Bottle. I'm a genie in a bottle, baby. Gotta rub me the right way, honey. Yeah, that song, 20 years old. So yeah, there you go. We're old. Everyone's old, and we're gonna die. On Sunday, it was reported that Warner Brothers is planning to reboot Supergirl in the movies. So, you know, in previous podcasts, I talked about the fact that Robert Pattinson is very likely going to be cast as the new Batman. So, Warner Brothers and DC Comics has decided that they want to reboot the Batman series with the new Batman. And alongside this new Batman, they are going to reboot Supergirl. So there hasn't been a Supergirl movie since the 80s when Helen Slater played Supergirl. Supergirl exists in a TV series on the CW, and it's so fantastic. It's one of my favorite shows. Melissa Benoit plays an amazing Supergirl. But in the movies, Warner Brothers and DC Comics has decided that different characters are need to play these characters in the films. So, it is being reported that both Hailee Steinfeld and Elle Fanning are being eyed to portray Kara Zor-El, who is Supergirl. Now, it's my understanding that neither one of these actresses are actually cast or front runners or anything like that. They're just names that are being floated, probably to gauge what the public feels about either of their names being attached to this project as Supergirl. So, you know, my feeling about what Warner Brothers is doing with their movies is they just, you know, they're competing with Marvel, and they'll never beat Marvel. Marvel just has too much of a head start, and their films are just way too good. And DC just still cannot figure out how to get their shit straight, you know? I loved Aquaman. I think Aquaman is a good sign of where those movies need to go. Wonder Woman is another great sign. Wonder Woman is probably the best Warner Brothers movie that's been Warner Brothers superhero movie that's been released in the last, you know, 20 years. Not including Batman and Batman Returns from the early 90s. But everything after that has been garbage. I guess that's not fair. The Dark Knight and The Dark Knight Rises and Batman Begins, like, those movies are great. So the Christopher Nolan Batman movies are great. But, you know, the Superman movies haven't been great. And the Batman movies since then haven't been great. Justice League was garbage. Green Lantern is just an embarrassment. So I get the sense that Warner Brothers and DC are really interested in getting it right finally. So we'll see. Will Robert Pattinson's Batman be the saving grace? Who knows? Will Supergirl on the big screen be a hit? Remains to be seen. But if the TV series is any indication, then Supergirl has a lot of fans, and if they treat the character right, then people will watch. I love watching Supergirl on TV, and if they manage to make an excellent Supergirl movie, you better believe that I will be there as well. The last bit of news about the Supergirl movie business is Warner Brothers is looking for a female director, which is smart. They got a female director to do Wonder Woman, and that movie was fantastic. The second movie comes out next year, so it makes sense that they would want another female director to direct Supergirl when she reboots herself back into the movies. And then just the last personal thing about Sunday night, another episode of Big Little Lies aired, and it was so good. And I feel like every week I'm going to be like, I watched Big Little Lies and it was so good. I kind of feel like I'm going to do that every single week. I keep going back and forth on whether I should recap the whole series, the whole season at the end of the season when the final episode, the season finale airs. But I don't know, like, it's such a complex story, and I just don't think that my talking about it will do it justice. Like, you've got to watch this show. It is so great. It scratches all these perfect itches. Like, it's funny, it's soap opera-y, it's dramatic, it's ridiculous, it's intense. I have my theories on what's going to happen. I think someone is going to die before the end of the season, but I don't want to say who, because I feel like it's a spoiler, even though I don't really know anything, so it's technically not a spoiler, but you get what I'm saying. I don't want to talk too much about something and potentially ruin someone else's experience, but I will say, I loved this week's episode of Big Little Lies, and I plan to keep gushing about it as the episodes continue to come out. All right, on Monday, we saw photos of the Obamas chilling with the Clooneys at in Lake Como. So Michelle and Barack, a couple of people you might have heard of, are on a European vacation, and they were spotted, you know, boating around with George Clooney and his wife Amal at Clooney's famous home, Lake Como in Italy. So that's kind of cool to see that the former president and first lady are BFFs with George Clooney and Amal, and are enjoying some much-deserved downtime in Lake Como. So the pictures are kind of cool. You should go check them out. Obama just looks cool no matter what he's doing. But when he's tooling around in a speedboat being driven by George Clooney, it doesn't get much cooler than that. In other news on Monday, the Olympic Committee announced that Italy will host the 2026 Winter Olympics. And the Olympic Games, so the games that they play during the 2026 Olympics, will be jointly held in Milan and in Cortina. So, you know, Italy will be the host country, but Milan and Cortina will be the cities hosting the games. And I don't know if that's ever happened before. I don't know for sure, so I can't say. But I don't remember ever hearing about, nor do I mean, for sure, in my lifetime, there's never been a host country that has had two cities host an Olympic Games. So this might be a first, but whether or not it's a first or not, I think it's a great idea for the financial burden of an Olympic Games to be split between two cities. Because as much as I love the Olympics and how fun the Olympics are, you know, a lot of countries spend a lot of money on these games. You know, they spend billions on like stadiums. And then when the games are over, these, you know, Olympic facilities just go to waste and they just sit there and do nothing. They, you know, they are abandoned and stuff. So the fact that the 2026 Olympics will be jointly held in two Italian cities sounds like a great idea to me. I don't even want to think about how old we're all going to be when 2026 rolls around. So I'm not going to talk about that. On Tuesday, it was reported that the Scream series is going to be rebooted again. So Scream first existed as a series of horror movies, the first one being the best. So Scream 1, 2, and 3 made up the trilogy. And then after a few years, Scream 4 came out as the eventual reboot. And then a couple years ago now, I want to say, MTV rebooted Scream as a TV series that I tried to enjoy and did not. As a fan of the movies, I felt that the TV series was very lacking. You know, I watched it and was not impressed. And I completely forgot about it, to be quite honest, until I heard this news again. But the Scream TV series, I don't think was a success, but it's hard to tell because shows on MTV, they don't have to do well to really be successes because MTV's not a big network and whatever. So the Scream TV series was one thing. And now we're hearing that it is being rebooted again as a 3-episode miniseries called Scream Resurrection. And this time around, Scream Resurrection will air on VH1. This new Scream reboot will star Mary J. Blige, of all people, Kiki Palmer, Tyga, and it will feature a cameo by Paris Jackson. So Michael Jackson's only begotten daughter will be cameoing in the new Scream miniseries, Scream Resurrection. If I was to guess, I would guess that Paris has been cast as the Drew Barrymore type of character. So if you remember in Scream, the original movie, Drew Barrymore, who was a big actress, big name, especially at the time, especially attached to this first, you know, movie, was killed off in like the first 5 minutes. And it just was like, it went so against how we think about movies and horror movies and how, you know, stars are treated with top billing and all of that. For them to kill off such a big name in the first 5 minutes really shook up the whole game. So my guess is Paris Jackson is a big enough name for a show like this where, you know, her being on the show and then being killed very quickly will get a lot of people talking. So I don't know. I don't know that I have a lot of interest in seeing this Scream reboot, but it's coming our way whether we like it or not. New photos of skinny legend Britney Spears have been making the rounds. In the past couple weeks, she's been posting videos and photos on her official Instagram account, talking about her trip in Miami with her boyfriend Sam and how much fun she's having, and she's going bike riding, and she's going swimming with turtles, and she's doing yoga on the beach, and she's doing all this other kind of fun stuff. So this week, new photos of Britney on vacation are making the rounds, and she's wearing a really cute black and pink bikini, so I think she was doing that for me. You know, Britney knows that black and pink is like my signature color scheme. So I think that that's her signal to me that she loves me and I love her. So there you go. What else? On Tuesday, Purple Rain celebrated its anniversary. It was released on June 25th, 1984. So again, another reminder of how damn old I am, and we all are, but happy birthday to Purple Rain, one of the greatest music movies of all time, and certainly one of the high points of Prince's career. Tom Hiddleston, in a new interview, gave a very, very, very brief preview of what we can expect or what we should expect from his Loki TV series that's coming to Disney's new streaming service. So I mentioned this before. Disney's releasing a streaming service, and one of the shows that they're going to feature is a show about Loki starring Tom Hiddleston. Now, Loki was killed in an earlier Avengers movie, but then he kind of came back in Avengers Endgame due to, like, dimensional travel and all this kind of stuff. So the guess is that Loki will... last week I talked about the fact that photos from the set of Loki have leaked, and Tom Hiddleston as Loki was filming scenes in front of a movie theater, and the marquee was for the movie Jaws, which was released in the 70s. So the assumption is that the Loki series will take place in the past, before he was killed in the Avengers movie. And so Tom was asked about the Loki movie and anything that he could, any information he could give about the show. And what he said was, quote, "All I can tell you is that it's called Loki. It is a new departure, but I can't explain why," end quote. So what he's telling us is the show is called Loki and it'll be a new departure. So what does that mean? A departure from what we expect from Loki, or a departure from the Avengers movie, or the phase of Marvel movies that are over? Is it a departure from that? Is it a literal departure from time? I mean, who knows? Tom gave us a clue, so that's for something for us to chew on if we want to until we get more information. But we should be finding out soon more. We should be finding out more soon because the Loki TV series will be debuting on Disney's streaming channel, I believe, this year. Well, at least the streaming channel is launching this year. Whether the Loki series will air this year or not remains to be seen. But my guess is by the time that the Disney streaming service is launched, they will have a whole series of trailers, promo materials to hype up these new series. So we will probably be hearing more about the Loki series sooner rather than later. So stay tuned. Madonna, who released her album Madame X last week, is celebrating the fact that she is enjoying her 9th number one album. So Madame X went to number one on the Billboard chart. And interestingly enough, while Madonna was at number one, Bruce Springsteen was at number two. So Madonna's Madame X, number one album this week, Bruce Springsteen's Western Stars, the number two album this week. Back in 1985, Bruce and Madonna also had the number one and number two albums in the country. But back then, it was Bruce's Born in the USA in the number one spot and Madonna's Like a Virgin in the number two spot. So back in 1985, Bruce and Madonna were at number one and number two on the Billboard album chart. And this week, Madonna and Bruce are at number one and number two on the Billboard album chart. So congratulations to both of these iconic music legends for continuing to kick ass and for doing something super cool by having number one and number two albums in 1985 and in 2019. Let's see. Lea Michele, actress Lea Michele of Glee fame, has announced that she's releasing a new album, and the album is going to be a Christmas album. So, wah, wah. Not that I don't love Christmas albums. I mean, I really don't, but I don't really have a problem with Christmas albums. But my whole thing is, like, Christmas music has been done to death. I mean, you can only sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing so many times. You can only put your, you know, spin on Oh Come All Ye Faithful so many times before it just gets boring. Mariah Carey and Britney Spears have cornered the market on new pop Christmas songs. So Mariah's All I Want for Christmas Is You will live forever. No one can touch it. No one will ever beat it. And Britney's My Only Wish This Year is like the second best new pop Christmas song of all time. So anyone who releases a Christmas album is thinking these thoughts of grandeur that they're going to enjoy that kind of success, they are not. Lea Michele is an amazing singer. And I'm sure she's going to sing the hell out of those Christmas carols. And undoubtedly, she'll have an original song or two. You know, Kelly Clarkson does it. Everybody who releases a Christmas album releases original songs. And none of them really do anything. You know, it's all about Mariah. It's all about Britney. Or it's all about, like, Christmas standards. So if you're looking for a new version of Jingle Bells and Frosty the Snowman and all of that, fear you not, Lea Michele is coming your way with a Christmas album for you. Whether, you know, you're into it or not, that's what's gonna happen. Another great piece of news that came out on Tuesday. Shirley Manson, the lead singer of Garbage, announced that she is launching a podcast of her own. So Shirley is hosting a podcast called The Jump, and she will be interviewing other musicians about, quote unquote, a creative aspect of their life. So the podcast is out and I subscribed to it, but unfortunately, I must confess, I haven't listened yet. I haven't had time. But if you are a Shirley Manson fan, a Garbage fan, a fan of, you know, one of the most fierce, intelligent, and kick-ass female rock stars of our time, then you're probably going to want to check out her podcast, The Jump, to hear her interview her musical peers. So sounds like a great idea for a podcast. I can't wait to check it out when I get some time. And I won't even take it personally that Shirley decided to compete against me with a podcast of her own against my podcast. Maybe she'll be up for us interviewing each other, so there won't be any ill will on either side. So I don't know that that's going to happen, but I would love to interview Shirley Manson for Pink is a New Podcast. And yeah, so who knows? Stranger things have happened. Let's see. And then finally, as a personal note, I got to see the singer Dido live in concert on Tuesday night. I went with my best friend, Darian, who he and I have seen many, many shows together, and he happened to have an extra ticket, and I had a free night, so we went to see Dido together at the Wiltern. What's cool is, so earlier in the day, I decided to crack open my concert ticket book, and I went back to the 1999 years, and I found the ticket stub for the very first Dido concert that I saw back in 1999,
at a little club called Seventh House in Pontiac, Michigan. And I posted on Instagram and I'm like, oh, I saw Dydal 20 years ago and I'm going to see her again tonight. And Darian's like, oh my God, I saw that tour as well, you know, and we determined that she was wearing the same outfit that she wore to the show in Michigan that she wore to the show that Darian saw in San Francisco, which is totally adorable. So 20 years ago, Darian and I both saw Dydal on the same tour. And then 20 years later, on Tuesday, he and I saw Dido together, and it was such a great show. Like, she looks fantastic. She sounds amazing. The show at the Wiltern was completely sold out. Everyone was there for her, and you could tell that she was super, super happy about it. She sang all of her hits. She sang a great selection of new songs. And she put on a really, really great show, and I'm really, really glad I got to go. When the tickets for Dido's concert went on sale, I think they went on sale like last October, and I remember wanting to get a ticket, but I was like, shit, I couldn't think about June back in October. I had just started, you know, my latest job, and I was like completely crazed, so I wasn't even sure where I was going to be in June, so I ended up not getting a ticket. And ultimately, I was like, you know, I can always get a ticket on StubHub, or if I want to go, I'm sure I'll be able to go. And, you know, it just got away from me. I never got a ticket. I've been busy. And then Darian's like, hey, do you want to go? I have an extra ticket. And I was like, you know what? Yes, I'm going to make the time and I want to go. So I love him for inviting me. I love that I got to see it with him. I love that we both love Dido so much and we got to see her together. And we had a really, really great night. So that was my week. I have to confess, the week was super, super busy for me. I am working a lot all the time. I'm tired all the time, probably because I'm old as hell. But I definitely wanted to make sure that I made time to record this week's podcast. Not gonna lie, earlier today, I was like, man, when am I going to have time to record this podcast? Sometimes, you know, I usually do it driving in the car to work, but I wasn't sure I was going to have time tomorrow because I have to run an errand before work. So I'm glad that I was able to find the energy to say, you know what, I'm going to sit down and for about 50 minutes, I'm going to talk about all the things that I loved about pop culture and entertainment news that happened last week, because I love talking about it. And I'm very thankful that you're out there listening. And I promise to stay committed to doing this, because I really, really do enjoy it. Even though I'm tired sometimes, and even though I'm like, ugh, when am I going to have time to do this? I'm going to make the time and I'm going to sit down and talk to all of you lovely people about all the fun pop culture, gossipy, entertainment stuff that happens. So with that, I hope you had an amazing week. I hope you have an amazing week to come. And I can't wait to see what we talk about next week. So until that time, take care of yourselves. Go listen to some music. Go watch some movies. Take my recommendations or not. Give me recommendations of your own. You can hit me up on my personal socials, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at Trent Venegas, or on Facebook and Instagram, at Pink is the New Podcast, or on Twitter, Pink is the New Pod. So that's it. You have a great week. I love you all, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye.